So let's open up to Parshas Vayeshev, Perek Lamed Zayin. And you'll take a look in your blue chumashim, you'll find it on page 89. And the Torah in Pasuk Beis says, Eile Toldos Yaakov. We're going to try to focus on that word toldos. You know, usually, generally speaking, toldos means the children, the generations, the grandchildren. But yet the next part of the pasuk says Yosef ben Shvasrei Shana. So the question is, you know, how do we reconcile the toldos with Yosef? It seems a little bit odd that our whole focus here is on Yosef.
Well, because he's the leading branch.
Maybe, perhaps, you know, Rashi's going to have a whole shot here about the fact that Yosef was similar to his father in so many different ways. We'll see that in a minute. But what we want to study today, that's our subject for today, is the Rashbam. The Rashbam is what you call Pshuto Shel Mikra. He wants to understand the Chumash based on simple pshat. You know, without statements of the Agadita and the Midrashim about Yosef looking like...
Or the Zohar.
Yeah, he's not going to build himself on the Zohar. No, the Zohar, from the perspective... Again, the Rashbam has nothing against Zohar. But from the perspective of what he sees as his job, which is to teach us how to learn Pshuto Shel Mikra, Zohar doesn't really play a role, but rather the psukim, and we have to compare psukim, and that's really what this ball game, so to speak, is all about.
He's saying that he's a paternalist. That's what he says.
Did you get your cheese cake, Rabbi?
No, I it's not going to be good for me. Well, thank you anyway. So David, if you want,
they're just benching now.
Yeah, so if you want, you could, you know, staple it together. I brought a stapler there, so it'll be two pages. So Rashi says the following. Rashi says, Eile toldos Yaakov, the Eile shel toldos Yaakov. And Rashi means to say that we're going to give you in this parasha some of the highlights of the episodes in the toldos of Yaakov, in the generations of Yaakov. Eli Yishuvayim, we're going to talk about where they settled, Gilgulehem, meaning how they went from place to place, Achabo Lechlal Yishuv, until finally they settled in the land of Israel. And Sima Rishona, the first cause, so to speak, of all the Gilgulim and the movings around of the children of Yaakov is going to be Yosef. And why is that so? Al Yidei Zeh, because of Yosef, Nizgalgalu V'yardu L'Mitzrayim.
Yosef stop in Egypt.
Yeah, Yosef is going to bring them, you know, first the hatred against Yosef, and then they get sold, you know, Yosef gets sold as an eved to Mitzrayim, and then eventually they, the people of Israel, become enslaved in Mitzrayim. All this begins with Yosef. So in a sense, the beginning of the process, the kickoff of the toldos of Yaakov, of all the histories of Yaakov and the children and all the episodes and the befallings in their life, you know, what's going to befall them in their lives, it all begins with Yosef, and therefore the pasuk immediately says Yosef ben Shvasrei Shana, and Vayomo is the Basamra, and the whole business. He says Zeu Achar Yishuv Pshuto Shel Mikra. Rashi says that this interpretation that I've suggested is a compliance or a reflection of the principle called Pshuto Shel Mikra, meaning to interpret the pasuk straightforward. We're not going to go into any midrashim now because we are committed, says Rashi, to Pshuto Shel Mikra. Lios davar dubar al ofnav. Dabar davar al ofnav. This is a pasuk in Mishlei that everything has to be understood in its straightforward, simple pshat. However, Rashi says, "Umedrash Agada." If you want to look at the Agadita, the Midrashim, Doreshi Kedarshin, Al Pidrush, that Tola HaKosev told us Yaakov be Yosef. What is the connection here? The unique connection, after all, Yaakov is the father of 12 Shvatim. Why single out Yosef? They come at Dvarim because certain similarities between Yosef and his father Yaakov. Achas, number one, Shekol Atzmo Shel Yaakov, Lo Avad Eitzel Lavan, Ela Baruchel. You'll notice that in the history of Yaakov, his experiences, he works very hard in order to marry Rachel. And Rachel is his main wife, and Rachel gives birth to Yosef. So that's already a connection between Yosef and Yaakov. Ziv ikunan shel Yosef domelo. And in fact, the countenance of Yosef is very similar to that of his father. Again, this is all based on Midrashim. The pasuk doesn't tell us that Yaakov and Yosef look so similar. Kol Masha Iril Yaakov Iril Yosef, and the history of Yosef is really a mirror image of the history of Yaakov. Zenistam v'Zenistam. Right? Yaakov was hated by others, let's say by Lavan and by Esav, and Yosef was likewise hated. He was despised by his brothers. Ze Ochid Mevakish Lahargo, in the case of Yaakov, his brother Esav tried to kill him. Ze Echav Mevakshim Lahargo, in the case of Yosef, his brothers wanted to kill him. V'chein Baharvin. And there are many, many similarities between the two. That's Rashi. Now, the Rashbam, which is here on the bottom of your page on the right side, he's not happy. He says the following: Yaskilu v'yavinu o'avei seichel mashlimdu rabosenu. If you really want to be a chacham, you know, and a maskil is someone who's intelligent, then you'll apply and fulfill the requirement of our rabbis. And what is that requirement? This is based on the Gemara in Shabbos, which is number 4 here. Ki ein mikra yotzei v'dei pshuta. Then you really have to understand the pasuk in the straightforward way. Don't tell me stories about midrashim and about agadatas. Leave that for later. That's drush. But right now, your fundamental primary commitment is to what? Pshuto shel mikra. Can we get a little choir here for everybody together? When I count to three. 1, 2, 3. Pshuto shel mikra. That's the subject of our discussion today. Pshuto shel mikra. And the Gemara in Masechta Shabbos, you'll see on the left side, on the fourth line, you can underline it, Ein mikra yotze midei pshuto. That a pasuk has to be understood kipshuto. V'afki ikra shel Torah. Even though you'll argue that what's the purpose of Torah? Torah is meant to teach us how to live our lives. You know, we have something called Haggadah. Haggadah is going to teach us ethical statements, like, for example, Masechta Shabbos, if you ever learned it. Full of Haggadah, ethical statements. And Dinim, if you ever learned Masechta Shabbos, for example. All Dinim of Shabbos, very complicated. And we're going to derive that from sometimes an extra word in a pasuk. Vayidei shloshim u'shtayim midos Rabbi Elezer b'nos Rabbi Yossi Agliyatei shloshim u'shtayim midos Rabbi Shmuel. We have various rules, they're called hermeneutic rules, by which we interpret the Torah to derive halacha and to derive ethical principles from the Torah. And Harishonim, he says the earlier ones, mitoch hasidusa, because they were dedicated to piety and to fulfill God's will, this asku lintos achre adroshos. They put all their eggs into one basket. They put all their emphasis and their energies to try to understand the droshos. Because the droshos, from which we derive halachic and ethical conclusions, that in their mind is the ikar, shehein ha'ikar. But mitoch kach, he says he had to pay a price. if you emphasize or overemphasize a certain element, you pay the price. And that is mitoch kach lo hurglu bi omek pshuto shel mikra. They ignored
the plain meaning.
The plain meaning. They forsook the real primary responsibility when you learn Torah is to interpret the words of the Torah. So Rabosa, I'm going to give you a multiple choice question here. You'll tell me which is the right answer to my question. This Rashbam and his relationship to the Chachomim or Rishonim, the Chassidim, is admiration, agreement, or criticism?
It's a criticism.
Excellent. It's a criticism. This is a harsh criticism of those who came before him, who shifted the emphasis away from Pshuto Shel Mikra onto Drashas Vagados, Dinim, and ethical rules. And in that sense, they ignored the primary first responsibility to understand the Psukim Kipshuton. And this is the Rashbam here at the beginning of Parshas Vayeshev. But these words really are an introduction to his entire work on the Torah. What moved him to write his commentary on the Torah is the fact that, as he criticizes the Rishonim, they didn't put the emphasis as they should have on Pshuto Shel Mikra. Ulefi she'amru chachamim al taravu bneichem v'igayon v'gam amru ha'osek b'mikra b'ida v'yeda mikra. You know, they took the Gemara Bav Metzia and the Gemara Brachos a little bit too far. The Gemara says that, you know, if you compare someone who's osek b'mikra, you know, he dedicates exclusively all his energies, all his time to understand the straightforward written Torah, as opposed to somebody else who tries to understand the Talmud. The Talmud means all the halachic principles that we derive from the Torah. Is Eilecha Mida Gdola Mizu, the greatest is he who puts all his emphasis on Talmud. And therefore they took these statements of Chazal literally and to the farthest extreme, and they completely ignored Pshuto Shel Mikra because they saw that Chazal put the greater emphasis on Talmud to derive halachas. So mitokach lo hurglu kokach b'pshuto shel mikros. And as a result they ignored the Pshuto Shel Mikra. And yet the Gemara says in Masechta Shabbos, which is the Gemara that I have here for you, Samach Gimel, on the side, on the left side, that Ein Mikra Yotzei Bnei Pshuto. They don't realize that Ein Mikra Yotzei Bnei Pshuto, that the true interpretation in the Pasuk is the simple, straightforward understanding of the Pasuk. V'gam Rabbeinu Shlomo. Now he's including Rabbeinu Shlomo in this critique.
Who's Rabbeinu Shlomo?
I was hoping you would tell me who Rabbeinu Shlomo is.
Rashi,
exactly. Now, Rabosai, to critique Rashi, that's heavy. And not only that, who is speaking now? The Rashbam, correct. The grandson of Rashi. Very good. Avi Imi, my mother's father. Meir Eine Agola, he is the light of the entire Jewish community. Sheperesh, and he offered us a commentary on Torah, on the Neviim Ksuvim. Nasan Lev, his original purpose, which Rashi writes in his introduction to his commentary on Chumash, is Lefarish Pshuto Shel Mikra. But the Afani, but I, Shmuel ben Rabbi Meir Chassano, Shmuel the son of Rabbi Meir, his son-in-law, Zecher Tzadik Levracha, Nisvakachti Imo, I fought it out with my grandfather. Ulafana, face to face. And finally, Vahodali, and he confessed. My grandfather admitted to me, She'ilu hoyelo pnai, if he only had the time in his life, the free time, Hayetzarech lasos perushim acherim, he should have written other commentaries, Lefi apashtus, according to the simple level of understanding the Pshuto Shel Mikra, Mischadshi Mekol Yom, something that he would on a daily basis realize that he veered away from Pshuto Shel Mikra. So here is the grandson, Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Meir, criticizing Rabbi Shlomo Yitzchaki, the Rashi himself, in front of him. And Rashi backs off and says, I wish I had the time. So the Rashbam says, well, if you don't have the time, I do have the time, and I'm going to dedicate myself to do that which you should have done, but you didn't do. V'ata yira meskilu mashapirshu arishonim elah told us Yaakov. I'll give you, he says, a good example to illustrate my point. Look at the way the Rishonim understood elah told us Yaakov. And they said, elu mikros moros she'iru Yaakov. These are all the episodes that happened during the life of Yaakov. V'hidei zeh hevelhu. That's vanity. That's a lot of hot air. That's not what the pasuk is talking about. The word toldos does not mean ma'oros, meaning the happenings and the episodes in a person's life. You want to write a biography about someone? That's called ma'oros and toldos. But that's not the toldos of the Torah. The word toldos of the Torah is not a reference to ma'oros, to mikros, to that which befell him, that which happened to him. Ki kol eilat toldos, whenever you see the phrase eilat toldos in the Torah, the Ksuvim, anywhere in Tanakh, yeshvim shebefarshim b'nei onam, some of it, the Torah is referring to the people themselves, meaning the children, the first generation, v'yeshmehem rabim shebefarshim b'nei banim, in many cases toldos refers not only to the second generation, but even to the third generation, that's the grandchildren. And I'll give you an example, kasher pirashti, if you look at my commentary on Eilat toldos Noach, and you'll see that in Parashas Bereishis, after it says Eilat toldos Noach, it says, v'yehi Noach ben chamesh meos, Shana Vayole Noach es Shemes Chaves Yafes. Now, what comes after Eilat toldos Noach is an enumeration of the names of Noach's children. The Torah has not yet reflected on what happened in Noach's life. The Achrechein, and then the Torah goes into a whole different discussion. Ki Olam Chatu, that the nation, that the generation was guilty of sin. V'Noach Matzachein, but Noach was the great tzaddik of his time. And the Achrechein Mefarish Eilat told us Noach, and then it explains B'nei Banav, again the word told us, but here it refers to the grandchildren. Heich ki shloshim banim hayolav etziva kosh bochach nisim b'teva shnei masar chodesh u'betzeiso, when they came in, vayivodalem banim achara mabul, until he had 70 grandchildren. And they became...
Does it mean 70 grandchildren or just 70 descendants?
Descendants. I don't know, you'd have to go through the psukim, shehayu shivim umos. These are the 70 nations that settled the entire world. V'chein b'esav. A similar thing we found in last week's parasha, in parasha v'yishlach. Parasha rishon b'farsh b'nei esav shenodolo b'makom aviv. First the Torah describes the children of Esav. Achrekein v'yelech el oretz v'yoshel abar seir v'chol aparashu k'siv yelech toldos Esav avi edo bar seir. And now we have in Perek Lamed Vav the toldos of Esav. What's the toldos of Esav? An entire parasha of the children and the grandchildren and all the descendants of Esav. And now on the top left you'll see Cain be Yaakov, also in Yaakov. Lamalux in the Torah records the children of Yaakov, Vayehu b'nei Yaakov, Shneimasar. So that's back in Periklam and Hay. And now, after telling you that Yaakov runs away from Esav, and you've already described his banav, and then it says, Eilat toldos Yaakov, and that's what we have here at the beginning of Parshas Vayeshev. That's already referring to Bnei Banav, to the grandchildren of Yaakov. Shahayu Shivim. Again, just like we saw in the case of Noach, we have here in the case of Yaakov that his answer, his descendants are Shivim, a 70 in number. The Heich Noldu. And now the Torah describes these 70 nefashos and how they were born. Ketzad, Yosef was 17. Iskanabo echo bitochak yorad Yehuda meyesachim ha'yilam banim kiksiv adulam shela etc. And now the Torah is going to describe in great detail the grandchildren of Yaakov and how they came into being. Now, just a little bit of history here about the Rashbam that we're studying today. The Chida, his name is Azulai, he lived about 3 centuries ago, 2.5 centuries ago. He wrote a book called Shem Gedolim. It's a historical work And he goes through all the great giant Mefarshim. And here, he says, the Rashbam, Ben Bito, is the son of the daughter of a Talmido and a student of Rashi. Achiv Shel Rabbeinu Tam. So this Rabbi Meir, who is the son-in-law of Rashi, had two sons. He had many more sons, but first these two sons. And that's Rabbeinu Shmuel and Rabbeinu Yaakov. V'hayu be'ir Rumrug. Okay, so we have to look that up in the French,
yeah,
in the French dictionary, where Rumrug is. Moshe Kosova Raibin the Sefer Kabbalah al Rabbeinu Tam, Rabbeinu Yaakov be Rumrug. V'chein Kosova Avtechos Tmim Deim, that was authored by the Raibin. In Hilchus Chometz, he says, Rabbeinu Shmuel be Rumrug, who are Rashbam. So Rabbeinu Shmuel Ber Meir came from the city of Rumrug, somewhere I think in France.
Yeah.
And the Rashbates writes that the Rashbam was from Rumrug or Rumrug. V'chiber Pirish B'Talmud. That first and foremost, the Rashbam wrote a commentary on the Talmud. And then he points out that the Beis Dovid made a mistake here, and he didn't realize that the Rashbam came from Rumrug. Okay.
Nuremberg it was. That's what he should be.
I don't know, I'm not sure. Maybe you're right, I don't know. The Rashbam Pirish HaTorah B'derech Pshat. The Chidah says, what was the greatest achievement to the Rashbam? That he interpreted the Torah B'derech Pshat. And therefore he writes at the beginning of Parashas Vayeshev that Omer L'Rashi had a discussion with his grandfather, Zkeno, Lefarish Pirish Yosef Pashut, that he should have interpreted the Torah in a more simple, straightforward way. The Omelo Rashi, and Rashi responded, Shayyav Adaito Lasso, so that's what he really wanted to do, he just didn't have the time to do it. And Vinitpas Sefer Keren Shmuel Pirish Lepirusho. So the Keren Shmuel was a commentary on Rabbeinu Shmuel, on the Rashbam. Then he tells you something about the piety of the Rashbam. This is mind-boggling. Lohoya magbia enof. He never raised his eyes. He didn't want to see the world. That's what a parashi was. Pam achas hayirotza lalos bekaron shahayibosus uperet. He needed to go somewhere, and the means of transportation was to get into a carriage that was led by a horse and a donkey. And he was lucky. Why was he lucky? He didn't know where to go because he didn't even see above his nose. But Nizdami Shamachim Rabbeinu Tam, Rabbeinu Tam was with him, his brother. Miyomelo saw Marom Einecha. If you raise your eyes a little bit, then you'll see Susu Peret Likrasecha. He made it into a little poem. Alright. Now Rabosai, let's open up to Bracious Gimel, and we're gonna see a pasuk, which you'll find on page, this is on page 8, if you have the blue chumashim, and it says there, Vayishmu es kol Hashem Elokim mishalech bagon. This is after the Eitz Hadas, and they hear the sound, the voice of Hashem, holy begeis. And Rashi says, "Midrashi agoda rabim."
This is
pasuk ches on the bottom of your page 8, and Rashi says that, you know what? I'm going to explain this word kibshuto. Why? Because even though you look in the Midrash Agoda, you'll find a host of different comments on this pasuk. What does it mean by Yishmu Kol Hashem Bagan? But nevertheless, Anilo Basi El Pshuto Shel Mikra. So Rashi, again by his own admission, is dedicated to Pshuto Shel Mikra. Ula Agoda. But if I find a Medrash Hamiyasheves Divrei Mikra, which will enhance my understanding of the pasuk, Daber Dubar Al Afnov. Which means I'm able to understand the pasuk as it should be written. Then, and only then, will I quote a medrash. So you see that Rashi, on the one hand, was really dedicated to the same task as the Rashbam, but yet Rashi admitted that he didn't have the time to follow through and complete the task. And that's where the Rashbam comes in. So now in Parshas Vayeshev that we're studying today, we want to see a brilliant example of the Rashbam, of Pshuto Shel Mikra. So we're going to open up the Perek Lamed Zayin. Okay, that's on page 91. And this is the story of Mechiras Yosef. And it says the following. So the brothers see Yosef coming from afar, and they start scheming to put him to death. And then they throw him into a bar. Now, Pasuk Chaf Hey, it says, Vayelchu Vayeshvu Lechol Lechem. Vayisu einem vayiru vehine orchas yishmeelim ba migilat. So now the impression you get is that the brothers are going to sell Yosef to the Yishmeelim. Okay, but then Yehuda pipes in and says, well, why should we kill him? L'chuvinim karenu l'yishmeelim. This is on the top of page 92, Pasuk of Zion. And Vayishmu Echav, and they comply with his recommendation. Okay. So what happens now? Are they going to sell him to the Ishmaelim? That's what it seems to say over here. But then in Pasuk Chaf Ches it says, Vayavru Anoshim Midyanim. The Midyanim came by. Socharim, and they were traitors. Vayimshichu Vayalu Es Yosef Ben Abar. Yosef Ishmaelim. So who sold Yosef to the Ishmaelim? Not the brothers, but the Midyanim. Now, early in this parsha, if you turn back, just to put things in a broader perspective, if you take a look at Pasuk Yud Zion, you'll see something called Dosaina, which means that when Yosef can't find his brothers, after all, he was sent by Father Jacob to find his brothers, can't find them, so he finds some strange person, Vayimtzeu Ish, and the person tells him, Shamati Omrim Melcha Dosaina. I heard them speaking, and they said, let's go Dosaina. And that's where Yosef is going to find his brothers, in a place called Dosan. So Rashi here, which you'll see on the bottom of your page 1, says, what is the meaning of Dosaina? Now, if you and I would have asked that question, we would answer that's the name of the place. But Rashi says, Levachesh lecha nichle dosal shiyamisuch bahem. That the word Dosaina comes from the root of murder weapons. They were looking for weapons to put you to death.
Very sensitive.
That's the last source on the bottom left. You'll see it says number 7 over there. Do you see that? In any event, according to this pshat, Dosaina is not the name of a place, but rather it's a weapon that they were looking for to figure out how to murder you. And then Rashi all of a sudden wakes up and out of a reverie and he says, you know, that's according to the Midrashim, but Lefi Pshuto, the simple reading is Shem Makom Hu. It's the name of a place. It has nothing to do with the scheming and the planning of the Achim. So he says, V'ein Mikra Yotzu Dei Pshuta. But it's very odd that Rashi, you know, we're going to turn to the next page now. Rashi is not absolutely committed to Pshuta Shel Mikra until finally he backtracks. Here's another example. Rashi goes off on a limb and then finally he swings back to Pshuta Shel Mikra. So Rashi says, Herola Herola Vana Bechidusha. Can somebody help Harvey to find this? So we're on the top of the second page. Number 8, yeah. And Rashi says that Hazeh, the word Hazeh, this month means that Hashem actually took out the moon, the new moon, and he showed it to him. The Amar Lo, and he says to Moshe Rabbeinu, "Kshayareach mischadesh, when you see the moon looking like this, yelecha rosh chodesh." Then Rashi wakes himself up out of this dream that Hashem showed Moshe Rabbeinu the mood, and he says, "V'ein mikra yotzei de'pshuto." And what does it mean? Chodesh Hazeh? Hazeh means Chodesh Nisan, which is the first month in the Seder of the months of the year, and that's why it's called Hazeh. So the word Hazeh doesn't mean that Moshe, you know, that Hashem pointed to the moon. But once again, you see over and over again that Rashi veers away from Pshuto Shel Mikra, and then somehow he tries to get himself back on track. But Rashi was so influenced by Midrashim and by statements of Chazal that very often he puts Pshuto Shel Mikra almost in a secondary compartment. Now, by the way, the Chidah that we mentioned before, when he talks about Rashi, Rabbeinu Shlomo Yitzchaki, now what does Yitzchaki mean? His father's name was Yitzchak. As a kinui, you know, sometimes you have a nickname, so the nickname for Yitzchak was Yitzchaki. But basically his father, Rashi's father's name is Rabbeinu Yitzchak. Apparently he was also a great scholar. Now amongst the great students of Rashi, he lists Rashbam first, then he has Rabbeinu Shmaya. Rabbeinu Shmaya wrote a commentary on the Midos, meaning on the ways in which we interpret, the rules by which we interpret the Torah. Because we've already seen the Chidah pointed out, the Rashbam is committed, is dedicated to Pshuto Shel Mikra. And then the Chidah points out that the Rashbam and Rabbeinu Shmaya were Bnei Benosov. They were grandchildren through Rashi's daughter, and Rabbeinu Yitzchak Bar Asher Halevi, Rabbeinu Simcha, Rabbeinu Shmaria, Rabbeinu Shmuel Bunberg, Rabbi Oseinu Baliatosis Miyotzei Chalotzov.
They're all descendants of Rashi.
Correct. All the Baliatosis are descendants of Rashi. Then he writes, this is fascinating, that Rashi Osa Sholosh Maduros, Rashi wrote three different versions or editions, B'Talmud Umadura Shlishis Hi Zusha Biodenu. The only one that we have is the third edition. The first two editions are gone. And then he says about Rashi, V'Digdek Mi'od Bilshono. Rashi is very meticulous about his language, his choice of words. Shemarames kama chidusha b'shinui os. That you'll see sometimes chidusha in Rashi because of a change of one letter. And Tosfos decided that they're going to make a living, so to speak. They're going to dedicate themselves lahakshos al divrei Rashi b'mekomos rabim. And it's very strange, says the Chidah, that very often the questions of Tosfos and his objections against Rashi are based on Madura Kama, on an earlier version that they had access to, because they were all members of Rashi's family, but we don't have access to the Madura Kama. And apparently they never saw some of the later editions that we have. Had they seen the later editions, then they never would have raised their questions. Here's an example of two different versions of Rashi. This is in Parshas Kisavo. Okay, if somebody wants to just open up to Parshas Kisavo, you'll see this on page, I believe it's page 493, if I'm not mistaken. Let's see. No, 494. And if you take a look in Pasuk Yud Zayin, it says, Es Hashem Hem Marta Hayom. And then in Pasuk Yud Ches, it says, Vashem Hem Mircha Hayom. So Rashi is going to work very hard to try to explain what's the difference between Pasuk Yud Zayin Hem Marta, what does that mean, and what's Hashem Hem Mircha in Pasuk Yud Ches. Rashi says, Ein Lahem Eid Mochiach Bamikra. I searched throughout the Tanakh to try to find a parallel word, or where this word appears in Tanakh, Hamarto Hamirch, and I didn't find one. Veli Nira, says Rashi, therefore, I'm just going to give you my intuitive understanding of what this word means, but I have no proof for it whatsoever. Li Nira, Shu Lashon Hafroshim Avdolah. It means when you separate something and you differentiate it from something else. And this is talking about the relationship between God and the people of Israel and other nations, or the relationship between Israel and God as a unique, singular God. And the first pasuk he says, Hamarta, is Hivdalta Lecha Me Elohei Hanechar Lios Lecha Elohim. So the first pasuk, it's pasuk Yud Zion, is referring to the people of Israel. Hamarta Yom means that the people of Israel rejected any other gods, and they only accepted exclusively the one God, and that's called Havdalah. Hamarta is Lashon Havdalah, that they completely separated God from any other gods. And then in Pasuk Yud Ches, it says Vashem Hamircha, which means that who ifrishcha, God separates the people of Israel for himself, may Ami Arts from the other nations, Lios Lo Am Segula. Then Rashi says, Dover Acher Matsasi Lahem Eid. Now, what we think here is that Dover Acher means that somebody added these two words to Rashi as if to say that Rashi rejected his first pshat, erase it, you know, white it out, because Matsasi Lehem Eid. I actually came up with a pasuk in Tanakh which will tell me what these words Hamarta and Hamircha mean. For who Lashon Tiferes? Okay, we'll explain that in a minute. Kemo, where's my aid? Where's my other pasuk? In Tilim Tzadi Dalid, it says His Amru Kol Pole Oven. The evildoers His Amru. His Amru means they build themselves up. Milashon Tiferes. Lefa'er, you know, it's like the, you know, the anti-Semitic pirates who wore the, you know, he wore this, the big hat, you know what I'm saying? That's the Tiferes of the Pole oven. And therefore, if we take that word Tiferes and we plug it back into our pasuk, Es Hashem Hamarta Yom, you have glorified God. Vashem, and in turn, God Hamircha Yom, God glorified you. Tiferes Lefa'er is to beautify and glorify.
Yes.
But the Taz, give me a minute, Harvey, if you don't mind. The Taz, who lived about 4.5 centuries ago, wrote a super commentary on Rashi al Torah, which is called the Divrei David. And look what he says. He says, Kasav Rashi b'mardura kama, that in the first edition of Rashi, he had Lashon Afrasha, or Havdalah misvara. Svara means he came up with it on his own. Ulubasov. But at the end, when he got to publish his, there was no publishing then, but to write his manuscript for the Madura Basra, right, this is the third edition of Rashi, Matzalo Eid, he finally figured out what the pasuk means. However, says the Taz, V'dvarav harishonim lo zazu mimkoman. And he says the following, that Rashi never meant to drop his original pshat and white it out, as we said before. Lo zazu mimkoma, they still remain a valid interpretation of this psukim. And not only that, hu nachal lefi ha'inyan, says the Taz, I'm going to give it a grade, that Rashi's initial pshat, before he found the aid, is really the true pshat. And in Tehillim, Rashi says that it's lashon tiferes yishtabchu. But v'zeu pirish basra, and that's only his second interpretation. Dekan ain't shayach shom pirush kama, and therefore at this point Rashi left out his original pshat. But basically, what the Taz is trying to teach us is that we shouldn't disqualify the original commentary of Rashi. So just like we saw in the Chidah that Tosfos very often argues with Rashi's first edition, obviously meaning that we should give a lot of credence to the first edition, but then you'll ask me, but Rashi rejected the first edition and he offered his final word on the subject, and that becomes primary. Says the Taz, no. Well, we have to understand Rashi, we have to analyze and treat seriously not just Rashi's final edition, his final conclusion, but even his original Madura Kama. Yeah, Harvey, you wanted to say something?
Yes. The Hebrew word Hamir is related to the word Emir, meaning a leader.
Right. Because Amar, Aleph Mem Resh, is also the name of a very strong tree. And a very strong tree is always symbolic of a leader. So in any event, there's a whole slew of Perushim here. Every one of the Mefarshei Torah has a different shot in what Hevircha means. But what's unique about Rashi, and that requires a lot of analysis, is that Rashi starts with his own svar, his own intuitive sense of what the word means. Then Rashi, at some later point in time, found an aid. You know, he found another pasuk which means lishtabeach or lispoer, and Rashi plugs that in, says the Taz, but don't ignore Rashi's original pshat. And I'll tell you the truth, my Rebbe, whenever he saw a Rishon who rejected his original pshat, he always saw it as a machlokas Rishon, as if there were two opinions. You know, we don't disqualify the first pshat. And here's an example of it in the case of Rashi in Parashas Kisovo. Okay, let's get back to Rabosai, to Parashas Vayeshev. How does the Rashbam understand who sold Yosef to whom? Says the Rashbam, this is number 12. Vayavru anoshim midyonim betol shal yoshim lechol lechem urechokim hayuk tzas min abar. The brothers had thrown Yosef into the pit. Now they were a little bit of a distance away eating their food. The Rashbam has a very interesting insight as to why they moved away from the bar, because there's halacha of lo soklu al adam. In other words, Yosef's blood is being spilled. That's not a place to eat.
They waited for them.
Right, because originally, if you remember, the plan was, and that's what Yehuda had suggested, that they sell them to the Ishmaelim. Apparently, Ishmaelim were down the road. But they were not located in close proximity to the bar because they were eating their suda. But Kodim Shabbat Yishmael, before the Yishmael finally got close to the brothers and to the pit, Avru Anoshim Midjanim Acherim Derech Sham, there were Midjanim who were traveling past that place. V'ra'u Babar, on their own, they located, they pinpointed a man down in the bar. So they called, you know, they called the fire department or whatever to get, you know, haul him up from the bottom of the bar. Mashku machru ha-midjanim le-Yishmaelim. And then when the Yishmaelim came by, it was the Midjanim who sold him to the Yishmaelim. So it's interesting. The Midjanim took him out of the bar. They sold him to the Yishmaelim. I mean, at this point, who's guiltless for selling Yosef?
The brothers.
I mean, again, this is pretty radical. And the Rashbam realizes that he's saying something very tenuous, because the psukim seem to indicate over and over again that Yosef was sold by his brothers. But the Yeshlomo, the way we understand the psukim, ha'achim lo yadu. They were unaware of the fact that he was sold by the Midjanim to the Ishmaelim, who eventually sold him down to Mitzrayim. The Afal Pishachar Kachosav, the Pasuk says in Perek Mem Hey, Asher Mechartim Osi Mitzrayma, that you guys, you are my brothers, that's Yosef, you sold me to Mitzrayim. Yesh Lomar, what we have to assume is, Shahagromas Maseyem Siyo B'mechirosa, that because they had thrown him into the pit, that's why eventually, you know, step by step, the Chagadah that Yosef was sold down to Mitzrayim. Zed nirali lefi omek derech pshuto shel mikra. And again, as we said before, the Rashbam is absolutely committed to pshuto shel mikra. Key, because if you take a look at the pasuk again, and it says, okay, I don't have it open in front of me. Does anybody remember what page it was on? Just to save me the time.
496.
No. That was in Kitovo, but here it says, yeah, Pasuk 92. So it says, I mean, page 92, it says that Vayavu Anoshim Mijonim Socher, Vayim Shechu Vayalo Es Yosef. So the Midjanim passed by, and they hauled Yosef out of the pit. He says, Mashma al yidei mikre, that the Anoshim Midjanim happened to be there. The Hemachru Yishmaim, they were the ones who sold the Af im basalom vayimkaru es Yosef la Yishmaelim. Ki echav machru in kein tzarech lomer shehem tzivu lebinyonim sochu lemoshcho v'nabor v'achach machru l'ishmael. So if you can assume and insist that it was Yosef who sold them to the Ishmael, then you have to say that the Midjanim passed by and the Achim instructed the Midjanim to haul him up from the bar. But it's absolutely clear that who hauled him up from the bar? It's the Midjanim. And now you're at a crossroads. You can decide which way you want to go here. You can either say that the Midjanim hauled him out of the bar and then somehow the brothers got him back and they sold him to the Ishmaelim. Or, more logically, it makes sense to say that they were the ones who sold him to the Ishmaelim, because it says Vayimkru es Yosef Vayishmaelim. Who sold him to the Ishmaelim? Vayalu es Yosef ben Abar. That's clearly whom? The Midjanim. Vayimkru es Yosef Vayishmaelim. So what are you going to do? You're going to put a fork in here and say, well, we left out a few words. No. They, the Midjanim, hauled him up from the bar, and then it was Yosef's brothers who sold him to the Ishmaelim. I mean, how are you going to fit that in?
There's another thing that says by same kisser. So,
Where are you? On the same page?
On the same page.
So yeah, okay. Where is it? Chaf Hei. Okay, so I'm going to have to turn the page here to get back to Chaf Hei.
It's a
90, 90, 91, yeah, yeah.
92.
So, where does it say Kesef? And I'm trying to find the word Kesef, and I'm not seeing the word Kesef. Vayeshu lecha lecha, he said, Vayeshu lecha lecha, he said, Vayeshu lecha lecha, he said, I don't see the word Kesef there.
Page 90, 92.
Page 92,
Kofay.
Oh! So I have it as Chaf Ches, maybe.
Yeah, Chaf Ches.
Is it possible? Oh, I'm sorry. Yes.
And later on, Yosef is telling the brother in the meeting, when we're talking about the Yosef Kesser.
It says he sold them for money to the Mishnah.
Right.
True.
So let's look for that pasuk. That's an interesting pasuk. Mem Hey Dalid. Let's see if you can find that pasuk. Mem Hey Dalit. Well, let's see. Let's learn it together and see if we find it. If we don't find it, then we don't find it. Okay. Vayomer Yosef alachav gshula elai. Vayigosh vayomer adi Yosef achichem asher mechartem osim mitzrayim. That's not the pasuk you're referring to. Which is the pasuk that you're referring to?
Kofches.
Yeah, that I saw. But it doesn't say who sold him for Esrim Kesef, right? So, but you have a pasuk that says that Yosef accused the brothers of selling him for Esrim Kesef. Where is that pasuk? I don't find that pasuk. But you'll let me know as we go along. I don't want to spend too much time where you found that pasuk. But what I did find here is Mem Hey, is where Yosef accuses his brothers of selling him to Mitzrayim. And that's what the Rashbam says. What does it mean that the brothers sold him to Mitzrayim? They never sold him to Mitzrayim, but they are the ones, by throwing him into the bar, who are responsible for to trigger off I called it a chagadja, meaning a domino system of cause and effect, that eventually Yosef was sold to Mitzrayim.
But that was the whole plan, so they put him they're going to kill him, and they said, now let's make some money out of him and sell him.
Right, but they never actually sold him. You're right. They definitely saw the Ishmaelim, and they were hoping to sell him to the Ishmaelim, but the Midjanim chapped at sea, as we say in Yiddish. They came too early, and before the Achim got a chance to sell Yosef to the Ishmaelim, it was the Midjanim who took him up, and they sold him to the Ishmaelim.
So can you be chayav for a thought?
Well, I guess they're chayav because had they not thrown him into the bar, the Midjanim would have no access to Yosef, and they wouldn't have possibly been able to sell him to the Ishmaelim.
Rabbi, the intention to sell him developed after he was in the pit. The original intention was to let him stay there and die, I suppose.
In any event, the Ibn Ezra is so bothered by this. Look how far the Ibn Ezra goes in number 14. He says, Hamidjanim yikaru Yishmaelim. He says the Midjanim and the Ishmaelim are one and the same. I mean, that's really not Pshuto Shal Mikra. I mean, the Mikra seems to assume that there would be Jonim and then there were Yishmaelim. He wants to say they're all part of one group, and he has a pasuk in Shoftim to try to support that. Let's see how Rashi interprets it.
Why is he so bothered there's two different groups? Why would that bother him so much?
No, because he's assuming that it was Yosef's brothers that sold him to the Yishmaelim. But yet it says the Midyanim hold him up from the bar. So he says, no, the Midyanim are the Yishmaelim. Again, you know, if you take the Ibn Ezra, take the Ibn Ezra. It's up to you. You know, the jury's out. But Rashi says, Vayavru Anoshim Midyanim, Zuhi Shayora Acheres. So it's not clear what Rashi is telling us here. There's another group called the Midyanim. Certainly they're not the Yishmaelim, according to Rashi. V'odiach HaKosin, the Torah wants to tell us, Shenivkar Pa'omim Harbe, that he was sold multiple times. But who actually sold him? And that Rashi doesn't tell us. Now, then it says, Vayimshechu. So who pulled him out of the bar? Well, the pasuk seems to indicate that it was the Midyanim who pulled him out of the bar. Rashi says, no, it can't be. I can't tolerate that. It's got to be Bnei Yaakov es Yosef ben Abar. Vayim karu le'Yishmaelim. No, but the pasuk says before that Vayavru Anoshim Midyanim. So what happened to the Midyanim here in this parasha? Oh, the brothers sold him to the Yishmaelim. And the Yishmaelim sold it to the Midyanim, and the Midyanim were the ones who sold them down to Mitzrayim. According to Rashi, everything is out of order over here. I mean, the Torah starts with the Anoshim Midyanim, but then Rashi says, "Well, put them on the side for a minute," and then we go back to the Anshei to the Achei Yosef. Vayim Shechu Vayalu Es Yosef in Abar. Vayim Kru Es Yosef Yishmaelim. The brothers sold it to the Yishmaelim. So Rashi says, "So what happened with the Midyanim? Oh, the Yishmaelim sold it to the Midyanim." It's like a postscript here, you know. You really have to take a scissors here, according to Rashi, and cut up this pasuk and rearrange it. It's like scrap.
If everybody agrees she was sold multiple times, then I mean, it's only loaded that the brothers must have sold him once, and the majority of them sold him twice.
Well, again, keep in mind that according to Rashbam, there's no proof whatsoever in these psukim that the brothers sold him to as an eved. You know, that's a pretty radical assumption. You know, I was brought up for many, many years believing that it was the brothers who sold Yosef. The Rashbam denies it. And you're right, he was sold multiple times. Why? Because the Yishmaelim sold, because the Midyanim pulled him out of the bar, they sold him to the Yishmaelim. Well, actually, according to Rashbam, he was only sold twice. You know, once from the Midyanim to the Yishmaelim, and one from the Yishmaelim down to Mitzrayim. According to Rashi, he was sold three times. Once by the brothers to the to the Yishmaelim. Then Yishmaelim sold him to the Midyanim. Bokeh Tov. I mean, we're the Midyanim here in this picture, but since the Torah went out of its way to tell us that a group of Yishmaelim passed by, there must be some significance, you know, they are also players on the stage. And then the third time he was sold was from the Yishmaelim, from the Midyanim down to the Mitzrayim, down to Mitzrayim. So it comes out according to Rashi, he was sold three times. And therefore, according to Rashi, it makes sense that Rashi could use the language, Hodiach HaKosim Shenimkar Pa'omim Harbe. Usually you wouldn't use the term Pa'omim Harbe if you're talking about twice. And according to the Rashbam, he was only sold twice, and never by the brothers. According to Ibn Ezra, he was only sold twice, but that's because the Midyanim are the Yishmael. Now, this number 17, you remember that we spoke before that there was a super commentary on the Rashbam, and that you'll see here in number 17. And he says that Dvarav Mivusasim, Al Kama Dvarim. Where was the Rashbam coming from? So number one, he says, the fact is that the brothers are not mentioned at all in Pasuk Chaf Ches. Pasuk Chaf Ches is the Pasuk that describes the sale of Yosef. The brothers are not mentioned even once. So it's hard to argue here that it was the Bnei Yaakov, the brothers, that sold him, and that the word Vayimshechu is referring to the brothers. How could that be? It says Vayavra Anoshim Midyanim Vayimshechu. Doesn't mention anything about the brothers. Borish Anoshim Midyanim, who I know say shall I pull. That's the subject of the verb vayavru, and that's the subject of the verb vayimkaru. Right? It says vayalu vayimkaru. It's both referring to the same person, the same subject. Number two, he says, the very fact that in pasuk chav hei, chavav, chav zayin, and then at the end in pasuk chav ches, it mentions the Ishmaelim, and yet at the beginning of this parasha mentions the Midyanim, is that itself has to be understood. Ibn Ezra wants to say the Midyanim and the Ishmaelim, Hainu Ach, they're all the same. Rashi says that in the middle of this description of the brothers selling Yosef to the Ishmaelim, there's a mention here of the Midyanim, and then it means that the Midyanim are here because they bought Yosef from the Ishmaelim. Is that's very difficult. Lumatzo, but in contrast, according to Rashbam, is Kurush al Midyanim moving Lagamre. You know, Rashi has a lot of trouble sweating it out why the Midyanim appear at all in this parasha. According to the Rashbam, on the contrary, the Midyanim are the major players here. They are the active agent who brings Yosef out of the bar and sells him as an Eved. Number three says, Reuven goes back to the bar, and he doesn't find Yosef. He's totally shocked. Where is Yosef? So Rashi quotes a Medrash, actually two different commentaries in the Medrash explanations, where was Reuven? Why wasn't he there this whole time? Now, according to one shot, he was busy doing tshuva for his chet of Vayishka and Bila. And according to the other pshat, he was, what was Rashi's other pshat, I forgot right now. Anyway,
his father, wasn't
he? He was with his father, or what, yeah. So the Rashbam says there's no question at all. You know why Reuven wasn't at the bar? Because none of the brothers were at the bar. None of the brothers were there when Yosef was hauled out of the bar. It was only Reuven who said, what's going to be? I have a commitment as the Bechar, the oldest, to bring my brother back to Father Jacob. And what am I going to do now? Number four, he says, and here we're going to go on to page three, that Yosef later on says, and this you'll see in number 16, Ki gunov gunavti mi eretz ha'ivrim. He says that makes a lot more sense according to the Rashbam, that I was stolen from the Eretz HaIvrim, and stolen by who? Stolen by the Midyanim. And here's another great example of the Rashbam's commitment to Pshuto Shel Mikra. If you open up to the end of Sefer Bereishis, after Yaakov Avinu bestows all the brachos on the 12 sons, in Pasuk Tezayin, which is on page 122, towards the end of this whole presentation, he gets to Dan. And what does he say about Dan? He says about Dan, Pasuk Tezayin, second line of 122, Dan Yadin Amo Ke'achad Shivtei Yisrael. And some interpret that this pasuk of Yadin Amo is a reference to Shimshon HaGibar, who was a descendant of Dan. Let's just see if Rashi quotes that pshat. Yeah, Rashi says Dan Yadin Amo Yinko Nikmas Amo Miplishtim. Okay, who's the one who's going to take revenge against the Plishtim? That's Shimshon HaGibar.
What is that?
Where's the Rashi? Yeah. On page 122, it's about eight lines down in Rashi. I don't have the time, Harvey, right now to show it to you, but hopefully you'll find it. Or maybe somebody could be kind enough to show it to Harvey. That would be a great chesed. Says the Rashbam, Lo yada ba'omek pshuto shel mikra klal. This pasuk is not a reference to Shimshon HaGibar. You know, in Yiddish we say, Tut mir atoyva, you know, do me a favor, come on. Where is Shimshon mentioned in this pasuk? V'chi Yaakov bo l'snavos al odom echad shenofal b'yad plishtim. I mean, the whole story of Yaakov bestowing a blessing on Shimshon, on Shemed Dan, on Dan, is because that there'll be one person down the history that descends from Dan, and he's going to fall into the hands of the Plishtim. They're going to blind him, and he's going to die together with the Plishtim. And that's what the blessing is all about over here. Chalila v'chalila. That's not what it's all about. Ach al shivto shel Dan nisnabe. But rather, this is a prophecy and a promise about the entire nature of Dan and their particular contribution and their function in the complex or the constellation of Klal Yisrael, the Yud Beis Shvatim. Because the pasuk describes Dan as being the ma'asef lechol hamachnos. Okay, I don't have the pasuk in front of me, but Dan, in terms of the encampment, was the last of the encampments. He was the one who would have to protect the entire Jewish nation against the adversaries. And in Yoshua it says, "Hama'asef holech achrei ha'aron." The last one to accompany the Aaron is called the ma'asef. Ulefisha ha'yaholech kol ha'yamin. Bein b'yamei Moshe, bein b'yamei Yoshua, achar kol ha'dgolim. He was the last one. I don't know how, there's a phrase in English for that, to take up the rear or something like that, some sort. He took up the rear. Hayitzarchli lochim and kol ha'umas harod from achreya. All the nations that that attacked them, he was there as the front line, because they came from behind to ambush the Jewish people. As the Pasuk say, L'zanev ha'nechsholim achreya b'derech. Ulinakem in ha'umas. So he's called Yadun. The word Yadun means to take revenge against the nations. And why was Dan set up as the shaven on the back, on the outside, to take up the rear? Because Kigibarim Hayu, they were, like Shimshon later on, very strong. He's Lakach Omar Yaakov Dan Yadin Amo Yinkom Nimkos Amo. So the words Yadin Amo means he's going to take revenge against the enemies that try to attack him. And that's what the Pasuk means.
And the Pasuk says
Nechsholim, right. Nechsholim, that has to be interpreted. But anyway, that's Shevet Dan. Dam Avadov Yikom, wherever you see the word Yadin Hashem Amo, means he took vengeance against the enemies of the Jewish people. Yadin Bagoyim Aleik Vios Machatz Rashal Eretz Rabba quotes Psukim all over Tanakh. The man is like a walking computer. This is almost 1,000 years ago. Rashi's grandson, the Rashbam. And we don't have time now to go through other Rashbams, but you'll take a look, for example, the Rashbam in the Parsha of the Sneh, and you'll see once again Vayomer Od Elokim El Moshe. And he says that the Mefarshim here went off the beaten path, and he's going to tell you the right pshat based on his commitment to Pshuto Shel Mikra. So that's number 19. Okay, I'm going to have to stop now because we ran out of time. But our research project here, which we got halfway through, was to show how the Rashbam consistently reads the psukim and explains them klufi omek Pshuto Shel Mikra. And that's what the Gemara in Shabbos tells us. That has to be our commitment to understand the Torah.
It's also about the Malek. It says that the Malek.
David, can you open the door?
Yeah.
By Malek. You were saying that when we were Ayepia here,
they came to attack the Nechsholim.
It was from the rear.
Right. They always came from the rear, and that's why we needed Shevet Dan, to protect us from the back. Okay then?